Kids. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Wisconsin, you're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Klapisch. That's me, Danielle Fairman,
who's that's
still
me.
Putting her headset on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, and throughout the great state of Wisconsin on your civic media radio stations. We're up to Anastasia. How many? Oh gosh, I am spilling here in the studio.
We're up to no good, is what we're up to, Joel.
You should be in here.
I know.
How many stations we got across the state?
So it turns out I lied the last time I gave the number. I misunderstood. I said we had 23. We have 13. So 13. I do hate to take the number back by 10,
I'm
but that is a good number.
There are not even 13 massive markets in the state of Wisconsin.
That's right.
So what that means is we're covering every single little inch. Danielle, thank you very much. I spilled my Vita Ice, which is the drink my mom brings me, 8,000 of them a week. And welcome to my mom and Anastasia's boyfriend listening from the lobby in the studio.
That's the boyfriend?
That is the boyfriend.
Oh, this makes it so exciting. I didn't know that.
That's a very handsome young man
out
there.
I tried to pick him.
Congratulations. Yeah. He's very nice. I think my mom actually made a return trip because she had such a nice time talking with him last time.
That's what I believe so too. Yes. But she came here the one week you didn't have a show.
That also doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't claim for a minute she comes here because I'm on the show. I think this is now just part of what she does.
Yeah.
I think it's really part of who she is. One of these times we're going to get her on the air because she is decked out in her full holiday regalia. I think she'd...
Per usual. She's pretty fantastic.
Were you literally riding on a sleigh on the way here, Mom? Or did you fall off of the Santa's sleigh on the way here? Or what's going on? If you saw it, she's got a red and green stocking cap with jingle bells on it and socks that are matching to the outfit that have snowflakes and Santa cuffs on the top.
Oh, don't forget the earrings, the Christmas light earrings.
She does have Christmas light earrings. Welcome back to Danielle.
Oh, hello.
Danielle, you were here last week because you were in the U.S. Virgin Islands fishing some of the largest fish in the world. Some crazy stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
What was that like? I mean, it looked like an awesome trip.
So I go out to St. Thomas the past decade. My friend moved down there about 9 years ago, so I have a free place to stay. So I'm gone. Let's go.
Did you know that St. Thomas is actually the patron saint of large fish?
No, I did not.
Well, that's because I completely made it up.
And it's sad because I do trust you when you say things. I'm so gullible.
Well, you know the word gullible is not even in the dictionary.
Well, it is in this podcast radio show right now, so it counts.
So go on. So tell me, I'm actually pretty jacked about this. Some of your pictures looked fantastic.
Oh, weren't they? I did not know that December, January is a season of winter winds, Christmas winds, they call it. So every single solitary day, it was windy. I was there for 10 days. I was supposed to go sailing. Couldn't go sailing. It was just too hectic. And then we were supposed to go out marlin fishing. But that did not happen because he said he didn't want to take the boat out that far and the current was just completely messed up. So he's like, well, we will go out for other fish. Done. I have not caught any of these fish here. We caught a parrot fish.
What? I saw that. That was so beautiful.
Wasn't it? Can you keep those or eat them? They're like the carp of the ocean.
What?
They're horrible. They're bottom feeders. And they have teeth like piranhas. Huh.
You can keep them in fish tanks as pets. People like to watch them eat. So I was going to say you probably don't want to eat them because they look gross.
They look
like they're beautiful.
Lucky charms.
But internally. They look like lucky charms.
But internally, they're mean people.
They're not bad people. But it was just bright blue like the sky.
Yeah, it was
green
beautiful.
And orange. But the teeth on this thing, it was definitely like a piranha. All these sharp fang teeth just going over each other. I wanted to hold it. But the little girl that we were with, Linnea, she kept dropping it. So they're like, we're just going to put it back
in the ocean.
And then, but my absolute favorite thing that I caught is a lionfish.
They're so beautiful.
I did not know this is exactly
the poisonous ones.
The very poisonous ones. And I'm like, ooh, let me pet it. No, they yelled at me. Do not. So I held it like a bass. So that was perfectly fine. But the lionfish, we
oh my gosh,
we
so
went
if you
down
get
there.
Nicked by one of the spines on those, you can get it can get infected, or you can
oh yes,
get...
they will have to take me to the hospital immediately.
Before we go one step further, you're gonna hear you've been hearing little interjections of some golden toned voice here on the
golden.
Show. I mean,
yes.
I did not realize you had such a voice for radio, Brad. Holy cow, Anastasia's in there. She's like. You can make a commentary on that. I'm not going to say that, but holy cow, you've got some pipes on you, buddy.
She comes from mama.
Sing us a song, please.
Brad Heidel is with us. He is with Delta Waterfowl, one of the largest kind of waterfowl hunters group, right?
The largest hunters group
for waterfowl in the United States. And we got to meet each other when the Fowl Life was in town. Anna V from Anna V Outdoors introduced us. She's awesome. And we got to actually pheasant hunt together out at Milford Hills, which is fantastic.
Nice.
We did. We got some birds.
Oh, heck yeah. It was fun. Real fun. I kind of was shooting out of my mind that day, which is not normal for me. People ask why I hunt geese. I say, because they're the biggest.
The big old target.
The biggest thing to hit.
Yes.
But Brad Heidel is here. We're going to get into it with him during segment two. And then segment three today. Look at this. Look at how good I'm doing radio-wise, Anastasia. I'm teasing future segments of the show today.
Okay.
We're going to hear from Brian Meyer, who's on the road right now, who is a triple amputee, U.S. service veteran, American hero from Afghanistan, whose job it is to travel around the country and deliver taxidermy.
Wow.
What a cool, crazy, interesting thing. We're going to talk to him. And I got a sidekick here tonight, too. Jack Klobuchar was with me. We made provider dragon venison gyoza with a honey sesame sauce.
So for everybody,
what
that's
did you
like
think of
me,
that, Jack? Did you try that? I mean, we did the cooking segment for the Fall Life, and then you ate it. What did you think?
Wait, hold on. Everyone that's like me for gyoza.
Oh, gyoza. It's really just pot stickers.
Yeah,
yeah, pot
definitely
stickers.
Pot stickers for us normal folk.
Definitely some of the best venison I've ever had. Really good flavor in the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you make it out of?
Well, that's the thing. It was just ground venison. So, you know, neck meat or shoulder meat or whatever they use for the grind. And then we just put the seasonings in. I think people get afraid of Asian food to make it. They think it's very, very difficult.
That is definitely
just the opposite.
It's totally the opposite.
I'm afraid of all different food. I need to have a recipe tablespoon by tablespoon, ounce by ounce. Let me know what I need to do.
I'm going
to
tell
you
something.
But if it looks complicated, I'm like, next. Not going to do it. But if you want me to put a steak on the Traeger, done. Let's
Danielle,
do it.
You don't, what happens, so everybody starts that way.
Yeah.
Baking is an exact science. Cooking is not. Now, I never realized how much I literally infused from watching my mom cook my whole life. It must have happened naturally. I have this weird, people say, do you have any superpowers or strengths? Clearly, it's not my height or my weight. Those are not my natural strengths. But
I have this
weird thing that I can tell what something tastes like before it's cooked. Like what I put in it, I know what it's going to taste like after it's cooked. And I honestly think that was just from watching my mom, who never measured really anything her whole life. Everything she made from scratch. And we had a German dad and Italian mom. So we had Italian meals a lot, but we had all the German meals. She made Chinese food at home. Whatever she made turned out awesome just because she was a cook, and she never measured anything really. So I don't really measure anything. And I think, are you a foodie, Brad?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to get along just fine.
We're going to get along just fine.
Well, Brad's going to come up and do a cooking segment with us sometime, Jack. We're going to need you to actually bring the meat you say you're going to bring next time. He was going to bring venison up, and he showed up. He's like, I thought we were going to use yours. Then he tried to play it like, that's what I said, and I'm like, no, bro.
Always blame Joel.
A-B-J. That, you know, that's a recurring thing in my life, actually, in my other jobs as well. But so Brad's already got a connection to the Fowl Life. He's actually going to be on the Fowl Life season 15 next year, which airs on the Outdoor Channel. I'm going to be doing some cooking segments and some hunting segments, hosted the Fowl Life here, had a phenomenal time with Chad and Anna V and Bubba and Tom in town with us. It was really great. And Luke and the camera guys, we had like 8 guys stay in Wisconsin for 7 days, and it was just fantastic. And it went extremely well. One of those hunts is the hunt at Milford Hills, which is going to be featured on the television show. And if things go well, it'll actually look like I was able to knock a pheasant out of the air, Brad.
Absolutely. You know what surprised me is you had these guys here opening weekend of deer hunting. That's like
primal time.
A holiday here, yeah. Right?
Right. It's and, like and a religion.
I don't think you ever got them in a tree stand. I don't think you ever got them on after deer, did you?
Okay, now you got to meet Chad Belding, right? Chad Belding.
Yeah, he didn't even want to go pheasant hunting.
He's a driven man, okay? And he yes. is literally about the waterfowl hunting, and he is about the waterfowl hunting. So to
and
try to get
waterfowl.
Chad in a deer stand, I thought it was actually the perfect time to have him here because that's kind of when you have the fields to yourselves out here.
That's very
and
true.
And you're not competing with all the deer hunters who are also waterfowl hunters. So
you have the 600,000 people out in the tree stands instead of the fields.
Yeah, no, yes. There's literally 600,000. Did you deer hunt,
Brad? Absolutely.
Okay.
I live in Wisconsin.
Well, that's true.
I grew up here, man.
I think this is the first season in recent memory or since I started hunting that I literally did not end up in a tree stand. I did not hunt the gun deer season. Not
felt weird, didn't it?
It was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels like it's almost like a rite of passage, like you're missing something. You know that feeling when you go to sleep and you've missed something at work? That's what it felt like.
Every night. I always forget something.
Well,
oh, speaking of work, I need to interject.
She just remembered something.
Oh, interject. She clearly did.
Guess Danielle. What yesterday marked for me?
You became a journeyman.
I became a journeyman.
Congratulations.
Yay! I'm so excited.
Danielle is a heavy equipment operator, and she's moving up the ranks, and I'm sure you're kicking everybody's butt over there.
I had a talk with a couple of the foremen, and there's some good things coming my way, I was told. So,
well, good.
I'm very excited.
I don't doubt. You are also very driven, and you really enjoy your job, and I'm sure that that you tell people how it is from time to time.
What's your
me? No, I'm an angel.
What's your piece of equipment of choice?
So depends on what we're doing. If we're
you can do anything you want. What are you going to run?
So you either do big dirt or you do city. So it's small dirt, big dirt or small dirt. Big dirt, I want my D8. Little dirt, I want my backhoe. Excavator, whatever you want to say. The biggest thing there is, I'm ready.
I'm saying hi to my Kennedy clan, our 5 loyal listeners out of Oconomowoc. Aiden, I got to see you in the next few days. We'll be right back with Brad Heidel from Delta Waterfowl. I'm Joel Clayfish, Danielle Fairman, Jack Klobuchar. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Spark my memory. Some happy, some sad. I think of childhood. Here on Raised in Wisco, I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. Hello. Jack Klobuchar is in the studio. Wave to everybody, Jack. Yeah, I know it's radio. It's okay. But we are live on something there. Lean in and wave.
Yes, Anastasia, how do people watch this now?
Yeah, so it's on Facebook. It's on also Facebook that says YouTube. And something called X that I think was once called Twitter.
Twitter X.
Oh, it was.
That's intriguing.
We're on Twitter now.
I'm not a huge Twitter head, I'll be honest.
I don't even have an account.
I don't like it. I don't like short format anything because I think it just people just barf stuff and then they don't have to defend it.
Just like on Instagram on that new Threads situation. That just came out 2 months ago.
I don't know what Threads
are. You guys know about that?
No.
It's Facebook's Twitter.
Facebook has Twitter.
Well, they have an Instagram
version. Yeah, isn't it like Instagram's Twitter?
Hey,
yeah,
I brought you a goose pot pie for Christmas.
Thanks.
For your Hanukkah.
It's okay.
The season.
Season time. Holidays.
The season. So I'll be curious. I know you'll be honest with me about the about the review of it. So I'll be curious. I made 8 of them the other day. Almost burned the house down because it caught on, like the drippings caught on fire in the oven.
Oh,
but
yum.
Yeah. Well, we made it through. It's fine.
Yum. You ever make meatloaf out of goose?
Oh, heavens, yes. It's fantastic.
One of my favorites.
It's absolutely fantastic.
You'd eat it once a week.
And the thing about goose, I mean, Canada goose gets such a bad rap. It really does. Really one of the most versatile culinary meats you can use. You just have to treat it in a way that you get that gamey taste out. You break it down through heat over time, physical breakdown or grinding it, or using an acid to combat the base, which is where that gamey taste is in the enzymes. Mm-hmm. Brad Heidel, we've established that you like to eat. Like
I do.
That's one of my favorite things. But let's talk a little bit about Delta waterfowl. The largest, the reason I love Delta waterfowl is because number one, they show up. They mm-hmm. show up at absolutely everything from the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association partnership, from the partnership now, that you now share with the Fowl Life Productions, the provider, Anavie Outdoors. You guys not only show up, but you guys are the hunters hunting group.
Absolutely. You know, Delta waterfowl, unfortunately, I would say is probably the best kept secret in the waterfowl world. I can't quite figure that out. But we are the duck hunters organization, period. And if it doesn't benefit the duck hunter, we don't do it. You know, whether that's the research that we first started out the organization with, you know, the science and research, to our duck production, to our Hunter 3, which is the recruitment, reactivation, retention, you know, we can talk about that all day long. And then we work on habitat as well. But what we do is we pretty much put ducks over decoys. That's what we do as an organization.
And that is something I think so many times today, so many organizations are all worried about tiptoeing around political correctness or tiptoeing around the actual meat of the issue, no pun intended. And yep. that is that hunters are out there to hunt, kill, harvest, and eat. That's
Absolutely.
What they're out there to do. Mm-hmm. And if somebody has a problem with that, they better be the most strict vegan that exists, because every other piece of meat that exists that you buy and eat is born and raised to be killed, killed and put in a package. And I think there's actually an ethical awareness that goes with harvesting your own game and bringing it to the table. You have to see the fact and the gravity of taking a life. You have to go through the messiness of cleaning something and getting the edible meat out of it and potentially using other parts of it, but understanding what it takes from taking that meat to the table. And I think that that's something that Delta Waterfowl is fantastic for, and that is proliferating that field to table, that hunter's hunter, getting out there, how to put the ducks in the decoys, and really focusing on the fact that this is not only a part of our culture that has somewhat been lost and is coming back, but something we need to grow.
Yeah, it is absolutely something we need to grow. And, you know, one of the things, one of my favorite programs with the organization is our University Hunt program. And there's so many things we can talk about and reference the organization, but this is a really neat deal. So when I'm 56 years old. So when I was growing up, everybody who got into the outdoors, whether they were a wildlife biologist, a conservation officer, a fish biologist, all those people hunted and fished, right? Mm-hmm. Every single one of them did. It's only 30% of those people who are going into those occupations now who are making decisions about what we care so much about, actually hunting fish. So we have a university hunt program. We started out 4 years ago. We were in 9 universities across the United States. This last year, we did 100 universities where we touched wow. students who have never hunted and fished before. We got them into this program. We not only take them through their hunter safety course, we take them to the range to shoot them, or to show them to shoot, not to shoot them, to show them how to teach them how to shoot. we want them to be our friends. Yes. Take them to the range, show them how to shoot. We take them on their very first waterfowl hunt.
That is so
They're
cool.
usually always successful in some way, shape, or form. We show them how to clean that bird, and then we teach them how to cook it.
That's just fantastic. Awesome.
Is that and all over the U.S. you're talking
all
about?
All over the United States, we
do that.
How
do you choose where you want to go?
It's really simple. You look for the largest schools that have those wildlife programs. So we actually have a target of roughly 470 schools that we want to be in when we're all said and done. But right now we're just over 100 of those universities now that we're in on a yearly basis.
And you know what I love about this? There is so much going on at the universities. You know, Anastasia's boyfriend is a university teacher. There's so much going on at the universities where these folks are, their minds are ready to absorb. And there is no better place to or time to grab them and show them a culture that is not only natural, but a culture that is fun and at the end of the day, tasty. Because I really do believe the adage, the way to anybody's heart is really through their stomach. So when you show people the reality of taking something from the field that morning to the table that afternoon, nothing's more satisfying.
And to take away the stress of school, to be able to go out and waterfall hunt, to have that to look forward to. That's the stress reliever.
Absolutely.
I didn't go to college, so I don't really know exactly what the stress of that is.
You know, just a real quick story. We took six gals out from the University of Colorado. They went on their very first hunt, never hunted before, went through an epic goose hunt, you know, one that we all dream about. Sat down, they cleaned those birds, they ate those birds. Two of those gals were vegans.
Oh, what?
Two of those gals were vegans.
Before that.
Yes,
good
absolutely.
For you.
And, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, something that we don't ever think about. It wasn't that these gals were opposed to eating meat. They were opposed to not knowing where their meat was coming from.
Perfect. Huh.
And I think this is where the right meets the left. I talk about this all the time.
Yep. And so now that they've been out themselves, they've hunted on their own. They've taken whitetails. They've taken more ducks. They've taken upland birds. They are hunters now. And now they're fully employed. And they're making decisions that are going to affect, obviously, the people in Colorado.
With the background that helps them do it. When we come back, we got Brian Meyer, who's literally on the road. He's got an 18-wheeler full of taxidermy. He's an American war vet as well. We're going to talk to him when we come back from the break. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK and your civic media stations. Sing it, Danielle. No. Okay, all right. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. The song, the show that very fortunately is not a singing show.
Oh, no, no, no. This is a laughing show. People laugh at me.
And it goes
me.
So fast. It's so crazy. I had such an awesome time yesterday turkey hunting. If you got those tags left, I'm telling you, go hunt turkeys. Hunt them the same way you hunt them in the spring. Don't worry about it. They're still going to come to decoys. They're still going to get curious about calls. And the symphony we heard in the morning while the woods was waking up was incredible. So I'm really excited about our phone-in guest right now.
Me too.
And we've got Brad Heidel here from Delta Waterfowl, Jack Klobuchar's along, Danielle Fairman, and Joel Clayfish hosting. Thank you. Brian Meyer travels the country in an 18-wheeler, essentially, hauling taxidermy, making sure that when your piece of artwork, as when it's done, gets to your front door, because I can tell you, I'm not going to badmouth any of the regular folks who deliver stuff like UPS, FedEx, and the U.S. Mail.
Oh, I can.
but you don't guaranteed. You do not have a guarantee of your taxidermy coming in one piece.
Whoa! Why would UPS, FedEx? USPS.
Well, how are you supposed to get something here?
You drive. If you have a taxidermy, you drive your stuff to a taxidermist.
To Texas to get it?
Why would you get your stuff through USPS or UPS?
Well, somebody has to bring it, the taxidermy to you.
Yeah, but I feel like a deer mount or a duck mount or a lion mount, you would not have delivered. How much? much would that cost?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Danielle. Right now, I have taxidermy in 7 different states and 4 different
and
countries.
And you're getting them delivered.
So you UPS think that I'm going to drive to 4 different countries and 7 different states just to pick up taxidermy?
Absolutely.
No.
Sounds like a road trip.
Imagine the hunting you could do. Or you could get this man on the phone.
The man who is on the phone, who goes on the road trip to deliver the taxidermy, I will be honest with you, at a very fair cost as well, cheaper than it probably cost you to send it UPS. Brian Meyer, what is going on and how tired are you right now? And what do you have in the back of your truck?
Oh, I'm actually not very tired. You know, we've had a good day today, but this is sort of the lifestyle we live here. We live about 14 hours a day. I'm not completely driving all those hours, but we currently have got, I'd say 40 to 50 different mounts back there. We've got some really big stuff. We've got some really prestigious stuff. Obviously, I've got some of your stuff. and we're really excited to show you the whole trailer when I show up at your house here in about an hour.
I cannot wait. I'm going to take pictures of this. Yeah, he's coming. This is what, I mean, it's
field trip to Joel's house.
Pretty cool.
It's not completely by chance. And I'm telling you, if you don't think God has a hand in the way things work out, you're absolutely crazy. Because Brian called me on his way here. I said, I'm going to the radio show. I want to put you on the radio show. And I want to talk about, you know, the taxidermy delivery business. Because I think, Brian, a lot of people think, how do you get your taxidermy from the taxidermist to your home after you have the hunt if you're not able to get back to where you had it and bring it yourself? And I will tell you, taking a piece of taxidermy in your own truck is not always an easy feat either. Brad's shaking his head.
Brad? It's not.
Well, the only thing I have traveled with is a duck to get mounted, so I can't really speak for all the exotic, wonderful animals that you harvest.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, even a duck, for example, you don't want to lay a duck down on your seat and having it bounce around with its wings spread open either. So, Brian, what is entailed in literally traveling the country and picking up these massive and frankly oftentimes tens of thousands of dollars worth of pieces of art?
Yes, sir. So we do a crateless freight. What we do is we've got a trailer that is lined with 3/4-inch plywood, and we basically utilize that as the crate. And that way, when every time I stop for gas, I go into the trailer and I make sure everything's playing nice, right? So I keep really close eye on everything because, like you said, a lot of the stuff is extremely expensive. And then on top of being really expensive, it's extremely difficult to acquire those tags and get those animals mounted. So it's sort of like I'm the last chain in the link of a long journey. And I'm fortunate to play that role. And I love my job, sir. I love my job.
So is your trailer, like, is it air conditioning? Is it climate controlled or anything? Or is it just, do you just travel? I just feel
it's taxidermy, so it doesn't really need climate control.
But I feel like with, like, in the heat of summer, if he's traveling down to the southern states and it gets extremely hot, isn't it pretty hot back in the trailer?
Not people back there.
Well, I don't know. I feel like
that is a factor. That is definitely a factor. We currently do not have climate control in the trailer. We just started this business in June, but we do have a generator compartment, and we will be adding that feature. And typically, it's not in the trailer that long, and usually we are, you know, as soon as I pick it up from the taxidermist, we rarely have it. Well, we have it around a month tops. So we do a really good job of trying to get it out. And then when the trailer is in storage, we do put an air conditioning unit inside to make sure, you know, humidity, we try to keep it, you know, around 80 degrees, you know, something where, you know, nothing's going to get too crazy at that temperature.
Hey, Brian, do you work with several taxidermists or you just provide this service to one taxidermist in particular?
I work with a bunch of different taxidermists. I work, Dwayne Dewey or Dewey Wildlife Studios is probably one of my most prestigious one. Working with Dakota Taxidermy. There's a handful of others, Ziggy's Taxidermy, A to Z Taxidermy. These guys are out of Texas. A lot of these other guys, Texas does a phenomenal job of keeping our trailer full. I'm always looking. So when I'm on the road, if I'm say like, I was just in Indianapolis getting trailer maintenance done. I'm on the phone trying to meet new taxidermists so that as I'm dropping off, I'm picking up. So that's kind of how the business model really, really functions well, as opposed to just picking up one and then dropping off, you know, dropping off one, right?
And I, share with these guys what you've got of mine in there, because you mentioned Texas, and you're literally coming back with some items that I had from Texas and Florida. So share with these guys what you got of mine in the back there and how that worked out.
I got an Osceola turkey down in Florida for you, sir. And then out of Texas, I've got your sandhill crane and I've got your speckle-bellied goose.
Ooh. Excellent. So you did
and they
kill
were,
a crane, Joel. I knew there was a reason you wanted to fight me on that when I said I saw the crane migration. I just didn't know it was so
personal.
Dark.
It's the ribeye of the sky.
That's right. It is the ribeye. They are delicious. I have the sandhill crane mounted standing with its wings. I was going to say arms, with its wingspan out. And that's like almost 7 feet across.
Oh,
it's
man.
Unbelievable. They are beautiful creatures, no doubt. And you should have respect for them. But I also believe they should be hunted when they have reached the quantity and population they have in Wisconsin, because that high of a population will actually start to hurt sandhill cranes. When they're overpopulated, they start getting potential for disease. And I'll be honest with you, they are killing the ag industry here in Wisconsin. So you've got mine in the back. What other animals do you have in the back that are some of the interesting ones?
Oof, I've got a stone sheep that was completely, and this one was completely tore up. And then Dwayne Dewey, once again, is a master of his craft. I mean, when you see this, you'll never guess that this thing ever had any issues at all. I've got a couple of doll sheep back there, and I believe I got a desert sheep back there. I've got a massive brown bear right now. I've got a life-size owl dad.
Cool.
Are most of those sheep life-size as well, then? Are they full body mounts?
Well, I have two life-size, and I've got three shoulder mounts, doll shoulder mounts that are absolutely gorgeous. So
when you deliver these, is your forklift attached to the trailer, or do you have someone always with a forklift to get this stuff out?
There's no forklift.
Don't be laughing at that. How did I get this black bear out with your pure muscles?
This man.
They're not that heavy.
Well, they're not.
Baloney. Are you going to it like a drop gate on the back? Like, how are you getting this stuff out? Like, my mind's like, this is super expensive. I've unloaded things on trailers.
I'm going to tell you something about Brian, too. Brian,
I don't know.
Brian is a U.S. military war veteran. So, number one, I wouldn't mess with him. But number two, I'd be fairly confident in his ability to handle things.
Dude, too. I'm confident in his ability, but I'm asking questions.
It's taxidermy. Don't give away the mystery, but there's styrofoam in the middle of these things, Danielle. I know that that's the mystery.
Not heavy. So your truck itself, your truck and trailer, is it a full tractor trailer, or are you driving like a one-ton pickup with a huge enclosed trailer? Tell us more about that.
A one-ton pickup with a huge enclosed trailer.
You were saying 18-wheeler.
Well, it's big. I'm not a truck guy, Danielle.
An 18-wheeler is a semi, Joel. Well, that's where I'm getting my information from.
Danielle, you're auditing. Now you might as well put my wife in the chair across from me.
You said 18-wheeler.
Now you're auditing me.
This is why.
It's a big truck, Danielle.
Linda, listen.
Linda, listen.
We're fighting now. This is the first time you and I fought on air.
No, I'm not going to fight about what size truck it is. Truck's a truck to me.
Oh, man.
So...
We can really get into all of the different neighborhoods. Whereas, like with a semi, there's other trophy transporters out there that do run semis, but you're going to have to meet them at Home Depot with a moving truck.
Yeah.
Yep. Hence the forklift.
Yes. Thank you. Like, you can't get on closed roads. You can't be overweight. Like, there's these things that are going through my head.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, I have my CDL. These are the things that go through my head.
Why don't you come to my house tonight? Jack's coming back. He's going to check it out. Why don't you come tonight and check it out?
In fact, I'm
going to invite everybody here in the studio to come check it out tonight. Are there more pot stickers? I made venison pot stickers earlier today. We were doing a cooking segment, Brian. No, but I'm taking Brian. Hey, who's your buddy you got traveling with you?
Right now, I got my right-hand man. His name's James. He's been on the road with me since right before Thanksgiving. So we're actually powering through about three holidays together.
Oh,
and
man.
I tell you what, man, I am a triple amputee. I'm missing a leg above the right, my right leg above the knee, my right hand, and I only got two fingers on my left. And I got one good leg, right? So I tell you what, James does a lot of my heavy lifting for me. But not that, and he just... I'll say this, he's he's a clutch. He's a clutch player in this organization.
Well, nice. I get to. I mean,
and then my other employee is Nevada Grassi. He's my business partner. He's an Air Force veteran. He does some amazing carving. Check him out on Instagram, Cryptek Carver. Does amazing stuff there.
Cryptek Carver. He does. It's beautiful. I've checked it out before. And I want to point out, this is not the first time I've used these guys. I'm so happy with them. I went right back to that trough, and they will literally drive anywhere in the United States to pick something up. And their prices are unbelievably competitive. If you break it down, they're costing about the same as it would cost you to use the U.S. Postal Service or something else like that. They're unbelievable. And you know your stuff. They delivered my full 6-foot life-size iguana to my house from Florida on a log, which is a really, really cool mount.
Yuck.
So give yourself...
what?
Yuck.
Reptiles.
Why are you yucky?
Oh. I don't do reptiles.
Oh, that's too bad because they are delicious. You'd eat... I made iguana bisque, Brad. It was phenomenal.
I
Jack's
love how
just
fancy
shaking.
Jack says no.
I will absolutely try that.
What, he's a millennial. What do you expect?
I'm a millennial.
Would you eat...
Absolutely,
eat iguana
bisque. I would eat iguana.
You're much more adventuresome than most, though, Daniel. Why are you shaking your head, Jack?
Because he spilt on him. He needed a bib.
It's a lizard.
It's a lizard. A big one.
You gotta try everything twice just to make sure you don't like it.
Yep.
I'm with you. See, now these guys have agreed to go out to dinner with me tonight. I'm going to take them out. What branch of the military were you in?
I was the Marine Corps. Marine Corps Bomb Disposal.
Marine Corps Bomb Disposal. Yeah, I know you're trying to make light of it, but in all seriousness, those of us sitting in the studio goofing off and sitting in fields and waterways shooting ducks would not be able to enjoy what we enjoy in our lives if it were not for people who are willing to put their name and their life on the line, people like you, Brian. Too often, we forget that. And so, you know, while I do have you on the air, I'd be very remiss if I did not tell you how much appreciation we have for those of you who are willing to do what you
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Especially those jarheads like you.
The wildlife community actually really embraces us wounded veterans. We get lots of really cool opportunities. My first hunt ever was actually out of the hospital, and I went on a bear hunt in Canada through a charitable organization called Wounded Warrior Outdoors.
Awesome.
There's a bunch of charitable organizations out there that really, I tell people this all the time, hunting is everything I love about the military with nothing I don't like.
Hey, hang on for a second. We got to go to a break. We'll come back with Brian Meyer traveling the state with taxidermy. Brad Heidel's with us, too. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Ooh, Barracuda.
Not the hugest fan of Heart, but I'm digging the music tonight, Anastasia.
It doesn't really matter your thoughts on Heart, because this is Kiss.
This is Kiss.
No. Kiss. I know, but wasn't the previous song previous?
Oh, that one was. Yeah.
I'm crazy. I do love Kiss, though. But give me some sticks any day of the week. I'm telling you, Renegade, that they understand me. Danielle, Styx understands me.
Styx understands you?
They really do.
Sticks in the trees, understand?
No,
me?
The band Styx.
I know.
Named after the river Styx, like the seventh layer of hell or whatever.
I mean, I
it
like
back, back in the 70s and 80s, they actually had some meaning to the music beyond, like, you know, Apple Bottom Jeans and all that
I
stuff
hate
they sing
the music
about
nowadays.
Now, so,
what about the WAP?
No, oh, my Lanta.
No, we're moving on. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK and your
Why
civic
we
media
play
stations
any
throughout
Christmas
the state of Wisconsin.
Music. It is our Christmas.
It is Christmas.
It is kind of our Christmas episode.
Your mom and I are the only ones that celebrated Christmas
by dressing. Yes,
by dressing up. Correct.
I'm celebrating Christmas. We brought in a couple, you know, holiday gifts-ish things. Hanukkah/Christmas. I mean, so Brad Heidel is here from Delta Waterfowl. He's been an awesome guest so far. We're going to bring him back for the Fowl Life podcast at some point. So if you cross-reference that, check him out there. And we have Brian Meyer, who's on the road delivering taxidermy across the United States. And we went into the break talking about some of the veterans programs in hunting. And you were saying how hunting is basically a lot of the aspects of being a veteran, except none of the bad parts of it. How important do you really think it is for us to focus on and talk about programs that have things for veterans returning, you know, to the U.S. society to do, Brian?
Well, I really feel like life's about struggling well. And for me, hunting is like that perfect struggle. And I think a lot of other veterans feel that same way. You know, we had perfect purpose. I had perfect purpose as a bomb tech. And you don't always get to, you don't get to maintain that. Even if you don't get wounded. So it's important to basically, you know, shift, be able to shift gears. And I feel like a lot of guys have that issue. And for me, it was hunting. Hunting kind of got me into this second chapter of my life.
Hey, Brian, where did you get that phrase, perfect purpose? I love it.
Actually, one of my buddies, Kurt Grabner, he's a MARSOC Marine. He used that one day, and it struck me because I had never heard that either, but he couldn't have said it more poignantly, and nor could it apply more to me, or I feel like a lot of us veterans. We have perfect purpose, and then sometimes that gets taken away from us, or you retire, and then, you know, you start to get a little sideways.
You start to, I think, and I'm not a psychologist either, but I think one of the sad realities is you start second guessing. And that's one of the tougher things, because you are in scenarios not of your own creation very often. And you are literally trying to create, I agree with Brad, the perfect purpose to what you're doing. And when that doesn't go the exact way, I think that the average civilian who doesn't ever find themselves in the military or in a wartime solution literally does not have the capacity to understand that.
You know, I don't know. I guess, I mean, it's hard for me to, I guess I had my path, you know what I mean? But I can see where some people might not ever get to experience having a perfect purpose. I mean, so I feel like for the civilian or for the Joe, I guess it would be like having kids. You know what I mean? It's just like, I never knew that this was so awesome until it occurred. And then if that was to say, for instance, your kid was to die or something like that, you know, that would be that removal of that perfect purpose. And you could see how detrimental that would be in losing a child.
What's your favorite thing to hunt?
Okay, I love this question, but honestly, my favorite thing to hunt is the thing that I'm about to go hunting. You know what I'm saying?
I love that, Andy.
I was going to say, please say ducks. Please say ducks.
I'm telling you.
I love dove. I actually do like ducks. I'm actually pretty okay with a shotgun. Go figure. Two figures, and I shoot it left-handed. 50% of the time, it works every time. You know? So.
Well, that is awesome.
But, what I always try to focus on is the next one, you know, because, you know, if it could be shooting at prairie dogs, that's great. Or if I can go up and get a stone sheep or go shoot a grizzly bear. I mean, everyone's got its own aspects. I would say my most difficult hunt was a caribou hunt. It was supposed to be on horseback. And then the season before, I guess they had a big wildfire. So it ended up being a walking hunt. My prosthetic legs got a 7-day charge, but it ran out in about 3 days on a 10-day hunt. Got a really nice caribou, though.
Heck,
but I tell you what, I got humbled.
Tell you what,
that is absolutely on my bucket list to get a caribou one of these days. And I had a trip planned to Greenland, and it was canceled because of COVID. So yeah, caribou's definitely on my bucket list. And just if you're joining us late, Brian literally travels the country delivering finished taxidermy to people, which I have to be honest is both the greatest part and probably the most nerve-wracking part, because you have the perfect finished product and it is your responsibility to deliver it perfectly and beautifully. But at the same time, when you do, you get to see the people's face when they get that finished product, which sometimes takes years before they do.
And you know how you were talking about everything happens for a reason? I signed up for an email list for findahunt.com. And I was like, ooh, look, this caribou. Should I go on a caribou hunt? I don't know if I should. I want to look more into it. And that was before this show. And you guys are starting to talk about caribou. So
You know what, Danielle? I call that divine providence, and I think that it's preaching to you that you should go on a caribou hunt.
Full scope outfitters in
You're
Alaska.
Never going to be on your deathbed and say, I'm glad I didn't do it. So I think you should just say yes.
And now I know somebody that can transport it back for me. So
yes, you do. Do you guys
from Alaska?
Do you get to Alaska ever? Have you gotten to Alaska yet?
Oh, we don't transport from Alaska. I've been to Alaska a couple of times. Once again through these wonderful hunting charities. I was up there with a halibut, and I also did some salmon fishing. So it was amazing. But
if you ever don't want to fish for those fish, do it just for the halibut.
Oh, my Lanta. Yeah.
On that note, Raised in Wisco has had another amazing show. Thanks to Brad Heidel from Delta Waterfowl, Brian Meyer from Degrassi, Taxidermy Delivery Services. Danielle's here. Jack Klobuchar's here. For Raised in Wisco, I'm Joel Clayfish. Have a great Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Kwanzaa. We'll see you next year on Raised in Wisco.